Fiat. July 6, 1938. How, in the divine will, everything is triumph, joys, and conquests. The office of mother of the divine volition. Example of the sea. I am in the arms of the divine volition, and I can say that every day I do my day inside its sea. Everything it did, both in creation and in redemption, comes toward me, telling me, we are already yours. Look at us, with how much love your Creator gives us to you as gift. And you put in your little love, so that the creating love may love in the created love, and the created love may love in the creating love, and both of them may be victorious. But while I was following the acts of the divine will, I wanted to storm heaven and enclose myself in the celestial regions, never to leave again. Oh, how the exile weighs on me. If it wasn't for the divine fiat, which makes its rivulet flow of joys and celestial happiness, I don't know how I could endure it. And I felt embittered. And my beloved Jesus, who watches over me in everything and wants me to occupy myself with nothing other than living in his will, having compassion for me and scolding me sweetly, told me, my good daughter, why do you embitter yourself? Bitterness clashes against my will, because my will is the source of all sweetness, of triumphs and conquests. And if creatures feel embittered, it is because they do not live in it, and their own will tyrannizes them, so they suffer from bitterness and remain defeated. Therefore, courage, my daughter. You must know that as the creature lives in my will, she feels the need for her heavenly fatherland. She feels she already possesses it. And as she deprives herself for love of me, of the celestial glory, in each act she does, I feel she gives me back my very self. She gives me the whole of heaven and the sea of joys and happiness contained in the celestial regions. So, don't you want to give this contentment to your Jesus? And besides, if I don't finish forming in you the kingdom of my will, how can I transmit it to others? Therefore, let me do it. After this, he added, my daughter, my love for one who lives in my will is so great that I act like a mother who had a crippled son and possessed the power to give to her son the rarest beauty. This mother lays herself over him, warms him with her own warmth, and by kissing and embracing him over and over again, she restores the use of his limbs. She makes him beautiful, and looking at him as the fruit of her maternal love, she feels happy. However, a mother does not have this power, and therefore she will always be unhappy with her son. But what the mother doesn't have, I do have. My love is such that, as the creature enters into my will, I lay myself over her. I warm her with my love to call her to new life. I kiss her again and again. I clasp her to my heart to remove any evil that may shade her, bringing her divine freshness and beauty. Then I blow my breath upon her, sending her my regenerating breath to generate her to new life and to give back to her the rarest beauty. Not yet satisfied, I form the throne of all my works, and I place my will upon it, like king on his throne, reigning and dominating in this creature. I can say, what else could I have done that I did not do? Could I perhaps love you more and did not? You must know that my love reaches the excess. As the creature does her acts in my will, I call into that act all possible and imaginable acts that we have done, even the very generation of the Word, from which the Holy Spirit proceeded. The whole creation, my incarnation in time, everything, I enclose everything in that act to be able to say, it is our act, a complete act. Nothing must be missing. And the creature must be able to say to us, in your will, everything is mine, and I can give you everything, even your very self. Therefore, our glory, our love, echoes in all our works, and gathering everything, it pours even into our divine womb. Oh, how sweet it is to hear all things resound with glory and love to our Creator. But who gave us the occasion to receive so much glory? The creature who lives in our will. After this, he added, my daughter, as the creature calls my will into her acts, into her prayer, my will repeats that act and prays together with the creature. And since with its immensity it is present everywhere, the creation, the sun, the heavens, the angels and the saints feel within themselves the strength of that creative prayer. And all of them pray. The prodigy of this prayer is omnipotent. It engages all. It gives itself to all. Only those who, ungrateful, don't want to receive it, remain without its effects. So, my will possessing the praying virtue. Oh, how beautiful it is to see the creature pray in its divine manner and with its creative virtue, which imposes itself on all and makes everyone pray. This prayer imposes itself on our divine attributes and makes us pour rain of mercy, of graces, of forgiveness, and of love. It is enough to say that it is our prayer to be able to say it can give everything. Now, you must know that whether the creature does our will or not, whether she lives in it or not, she is already inside its immensity. Even more, our will is life over life and act over acts. And it constantly assists her with its creative and preserving act. However, one who lives in it feels its life, its power, its sanctity, and how much I love her. It happens to her as to the fish that lives in the sea and knows the sea. She feels this divine sea that acts as her bed, carries her in the arms of its celestial waters, nourishes her, makes her move within it, amuses her, and embellishes her. And if she wants to sleep, it forms her bed in the depth of its sea, so that no one may wake her up. Even more, it sleeps together with her. The love of my will for one who lives inside its sea and is aware that she is inside of it is so great that it does in her all the arts that she wants to do. If she wants to think, it thinks within her. If she wants to look, it looks through her eyes. If she wants to speak, it speaks and keeps her in continuous communication, telling her many of the wonders of our eternal love. If she wants to operate, it operates. If she wants to walk, it walks. If she wants to love, it loves. My fiat is always busy with her, and she not only recognizes it, but never leaves it alone. She sinks more and more inside it, see, because she knows that if she goes out, she will lose her life. It would happen to her as to the fish that loses its life if it gets out of the sea. These creatures who live in our will are our celestial inhabitants. And with their love, they delight in forming the waves in our sea to amuse us and make us happy. On the other hand, those who live in the immensity of the sea but do not know us feel nothing of all this. They don't feel our paternal cares, clasping them to our bosom. They live inside our sea as if they did not live at all. They are quite unhappy, as if they were not our children. They live like strangers. And since we're not known, we are forced by their ingratitude not to tell them even a word, and to keep repressed inside our womb the goods that we were to give them. To see our children poor, dissimilar from us, only because they do not know us, is a sorrow for us. And even if we gave to them, it would be, as the gospel says, "Do not give the pearls to the swine." Not knowing them, they would cover them with mud and trample them underfoot. Therefore, it is knowledge that makes creatures understand where they are, with whom they live, what they can receive, and what they must do. Those who do not know are the true blind. No matter how many goods are placed around them, they cannot see anything. They are the vagabonds of creation.